Genesis chapter 3. I'll begin reading at verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And that's as far as I'll read. This morning, I want to take a thought from this. We see in this story the deceiving of Eve. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 2 that Adam was not deceived, but the woman. The woman being deceived was in the transgression. So, but it was a deception. And I want to look, I guess, this morning at the deceivings in Genesis. When we read the book of Genesis, I tend to look at it as the book of life. It is where we see where all life come from. It's the book of creation. We find all that was created. God tells us in the book of Genesis. It's the book of beginnings. The book of first mention. We find so many things. In a practical way, everything once found in Genesis. But it's also a book where we find great deceivings. We see in this chapter the great deceiver himself from the beginning that came and interrupted the paradise that Adam and Eve had experienced. And that's what Satan does. He wants to interrupt any peace that anybody has or any relation with God. He wants to do that. He is known as the deceiver, the great deceiver, the serpent that beguiled Eve, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians. It was the serpent that beguiled Eve. And so again, it was the serpent here that we find that deceived the woman. That deceived the woman. And then the woman gave, of course, to Adam. Adam was not deceived. He knew what would happen. God had told him what would happen. And, you know, if you look and see what it was that caused the downfall, it was the deceivings about God's word. Well, surely God has said you can eat of every tree. It all has to stem around whether or not God said what he did or not. And so it's the doubt of God's word and adding and misinterpreting God's word. She said, God said we can not eat of it and don't even touch it. And according to anything written before then, God never said anything about not touching it. Just not to eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. He didn't even say not to look on it. All he said was don't eat of it. Don't eat of that tree. So there was the contradicting and the misinterpretation of God's word and the temptation to transgress. He knows that in the day you eat thereof, you're going to be like him. You're going to know good and evil. And I want to tell you something. What happened to them? One writer said they are going to find out by experience. Are you listening? By experience, they lost their God consciousness and gained a self consciousness. I mean, they weren't thinking about God anymore and fellowshipping with God. Now all they could think about is we are naked. Ourself. They had a conscience self. Before that, they had no self-consciousness. They had no consciousness of wrong. They had not done anything wrong. Are you listening to me? I mean, think about what the deceiver deceived them into. God had asked the question to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? Can you imagine the weight of that question coming from God? I mean, does she even know what it is that I ate of the tree? No, you did more than that. You did far more than that. It was more than eating the tree. They have now, listen to me, been made unlike him. And now they are in a sinful state. They have cast all that man would be into death. They are now going to experience death. Why? Because of the great deception. The great deceiver. The Bible tells us, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, God told Adam, if you eat it, you'll die. And as much as God loved Adam, he could not take that back. Are you hearing me? God told him not to eat of it, and he ate of it, knowing what was going to happen. The great deceiver, that serpent, deceived them into giving up everything and gaining nothing. They gained pain. She gained pain in childbirth. He gained toiling and sweating, the fall of the race, and death at the end of life. That's not much of a gain. Are you listening to me? That doesn't sound near as beautiful as what Satan made it out to be. You'll be like God. They're not like God now. They're very much unlike Him. They're unholy. They were in a holy state, and now they're unholy. They were in a sinless state, and now they are sinful. They were in a righteous state, and now they are unrighteous. I'm telling you, the temptation that comes from the deceiver is never going to amount to what he promises. Because he promises beauty, and he promises the world. Are you listening to me? He wanted to promise our Christ the world and everything in it, didn't he? And that's what people think a lot of time they're going to get. The world and everything it has to offer. But it only brings death. The deceiver, think about the deceiving that now is in Adam. Where art thou, Adam? He's hiding from God. Hiding from God. And listen, Adam didn't have that in him before the great deception. So now Adam is trying to cover his nakedness. That God won't see his nakedness. That God won't know what happened. But God knew what happened. His son Cain lied to God, tried to deceive God about what he did to his brother Abel. He murdered his brother Abel in the field. And when God said, "Where is your brother Abel?" Cain spoke to God and said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" As if, how am I supposed to know? There he is trying to deceive the Almighty. You're not ever, listen, nor I will ever deceive God Almighty. He sees all and he knows all. Amen? He knows where we are and what we've done. Be sure of that. But Cain, he is lying and deceiving. Think about Abraham. Abraham, he was a father of the faith, but there was something in him that caused him when he married his half-sister Sarah and they went into the land of Egypt that caused him to lie to the Pharaoh, to deceive the Pharaoh, to say, "She's my sister," to tell her, "You make sure you tell him I'm your brother. Don't tell him that I'm your husband." Causing even her to deceive the Pharaoh. You see the deception that just keeps running? It keeps running from generation to generation. The grandson of Abraham, Jacob, was a great deceiver. He deceived his brother Esau, you remember, to gain the birthright. He deceived his father Isaac. His mother helped him. deceive his father Isaac. He put a hairy animal skin on his hand. And when it's, because he knew his brother was a hairy man, a very, very hairy man. And when he would come to his father who is blind, he would want to feel his hand. And he knew he had on Esau's clothes and that hairy skin. He said, you know, this seems like that it's Esau, but it sounds like Jacob. He should have known, but the deception was there. The deception, right on and on. People, today, listen, I mean, think about this. There are so many people that try to live with deceivings. I mean, Laban deceived Jacob when he came to ask for Rachel. And he got Leah. The preacher preached about it this week. He thought he had married Rachel and had his honeymoon and woke up the next morning and realized he had woke up with the wrong one and had to work 7 more years to gain the hand of the woman he truly loved. He's married now to both of them, Rachel and Leah. He has 12 sons, many daughters. And now those sons are going to deceive him. His deception passed down to his sons. They got rid of their younger brother Joseph that Jacob loved very much, because he had prophesied that he would be over all of them, even over Jacob. Jacob didn't even understand that. But they threw him in a pit. They sold him off into slavery. They went back and told their father that he had been killed. And he wept bitterly. Jacob wept bitterly, all because of deceivings. Deceivings just bring pain. It always brings that kind of pain. That deception, I guess, is more painful than anything. Right. Well, I mean, then to find out, I mean, when you find out you've been deceived, lied to, that's what a deceiving is. It's a lie. Yes, God hates lies. God hates a liar. Right. Are you listening to me? God can't stand a lie. A deceiving, why? Because it's the very thing that happened in the beginning. The very thing that Satan used in the beginning and still uses today. He'll use it to keep lost men lost. He'll keep it to, listen, and use it for saved men to lose their victory. He'll promise you many things. Nobody will see. Nobody will know. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. We are living in a generation still. It's deceiving. More and more deceiving. More and more deceiving. And you would think, listen, you would think, and the preacher, he said something the other night about this, and he was right. You would think, even preachers' kids, deacons' kids, regular church kids, they don't even have to be a preacher's kid or a deacon's kid, just regular church. Listen, deceive to no end. To ever get past it has to be rooted out deep. Yeah. Christ can give grace. Are you listening to me? I know that. I was once a deceiver, right. A liar. Right. The Lord, I know, can give grace. Look at the grace that God gave to many of these that were deceivers. Look at that God turning Jacob into Israel. Right. God making Abraham the father of faith. An unwavering man. I mean, think about even Moses at one time was considered a murderer and ran and fled. But God changed his life. Changed his life and used him for his honor and glory. Listen, when God really gets a hold of a person, an individual, the deceiving has to go out. Judas had a choice to either deceive or not deceive. And he deceived. He kissed our Lord on the cheek as if he loved him and did nothing wrong. There in the garden, you remember? Before that, he'd got up and left. Left the supper to go and get that silver because he was going to betray his Lord and Master.
Right.
People think they're going to gain power, and it's only gaining power to do evil. That's the only power that man gains when he dives into this. Just to do evil. That's all that's going to become of it. Evil. Not any good.
Right.
Not any good at all comes from deceiving.
Right.
Comes from sin. You cannot do good by sinning. Are you listening to me? That's a deception. The devil wants to deceive like he did in the beginning. He wants to bring man to a place where it's impossible for him to do good. He's living from one deception to the next. Completely overwhelmed by deception. Do you know some people deceive for so long and lie so long they begin to believe those things that they're living in and saying? God have mercy. You think about all that, I mean, and those are just a few that I mentioned in the book of Genesis, the deceiving that just ran rampant after Satan brought it in the garden, brought it into humanity. But God's grace, our Lord's sacrifice can break that cycle, that power of deceiving. The devil gave his greatest deception to our Lord. Caught him at a time where he was no doubt very hungry. Caught him at a time when he was tired, at his weakest physically. Satan knows just when to bring a deception your way. He knows just what to promise you and just how to word it. Like a fish taking a hook. And then he's got you. He's got you. If he ever hooks you, he's got you. And no matter how much you struggle, are you listening to me? Adam lost that countenance he had that was so godlike. He is made in the image of God. He was as godlike. Think about that. There in the garden, as man ever has been, and lost it. You can think of just his whole countenance and everything, no doubt, had changed. Even his body, to have a vibrancy. And then now it has death in it. It's hard to comprehend what a deceiving will do. How great the weight. How great the weight. Again, the only cure for it is the Word of God. This deceiving, and you've got to remember this, when it started, this deceiving had everything to do more about contradicting God and what God said than it did what it was He wanted it to accomplish. To get them to doubt God's word, to add to it, to misquote it, contradict it, misinterpret it. Then comes the transgression. Because if you don't know what God has said and obey it, you'll be deceived into doing anything. You can be deceived into doing anything. You have to know what God has said and realize how serious it is that God has said it. And how reverencing it is that it's God's Word. We don't look at God's Word in this generation with a great reverence and fear the way past generations have. That's why there's more versions than there ever has been. People do not care to tinker with it, change it, and make it say what they want. They don't fear God. And that's why they're doing, and it's the devil deceiving them. The devil deceiving them. Listen, you get your life anchored in what God has said, and He'll keep you from being deceived. It is the light under our path, a lamp under our feet. We will not walk in darkness or deceiving. That's what deceiving is. It's darkness. They take kids in these games and they'll blindfold them and spin them around and then ask them to go pin a tail on something. Well, how can you know which way to go? You're dizzy. You're blinded. You don't even know if you're going in the right direction. That's what deceiving does. That's what blindness does. But God's Word, listen, will guide you to truth. It is truth. And it is no lie. That's what the Bible said. God's Word is truth and is no lie. God never has lied to man. Never will lie to man. I hope you really believe what God has said. You've heard something in the past from God's Word or read something and you've not stood upon it or you've not received it or you've not taken it in. I pray you do that. You don't want to question the Lord. You don't want to misinterpret God's intention for your life? Is you liable to be deceived into anything? I want you to stand this morning.